Okay, whenever you want to start.
All right, let's. Why don't you point at me, and then we'll get started.
All right. Oh, so I'll point at you. Ready?
Okay.
Like, sure. Do a spit take on a podcast.
No, I wouldn't. The equipment's too expensive. And welcome to Sneaky Dragon episode 162. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
We're getting a little bit mellow here because we recently did a live episode, and in that one we screeched like maniacs. So we're just calming it back down, everybody.
Calm the fuck down.
Everyone,
as listen. They say on FM radio.
Yeah, that's what they say on FM radio. Yeah. And the traffic today is light on the Coca-Cola, and let's all just calm the fuck down.
Fuck down.
All right.
That's what FM stands for.
Yep. 10 after 10. Looks like nice clear streets out there. The snow didn't end up happening, and let's all just calm the fuck down. And now here's The Who with Who Are You? Calm the fuck down.
That's right. And that song also was we liked as kids because it said, "Who the fuck are you?" in the song.
Oh, did it?
So you're really excited. You're like, oh, they said fuck on the radio.
Did they really say that on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that. It's too bad.
It's a long song, so parents didn't listen to it all the way through, so they didn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, I'll listen to it for a bit and see what kind of song. It goes on for a while. I think I'll go and do something else.
Now, The Who makes most of their money nowadays from being CSI theme song.
That's right. Folks. All their songs, Who Are You?
Yeah.
Was used, right? That was the first one.
That was the first one.
It made sense.
Now, the one that isn't.
Won't Get Fooled Again, that was for CSI Miami.
That's right.
That one,
and then there's CSI
New York.
Right.
Which, I do not know what they use because I did not watch that show.
Right. But you know what they never did was The Seeker.
The
Call
Seeker.
Me The Seeker, yeah. Which would seem like the most that obvious of one. The bunch, right? You're the seeker of things.
But it was kind of a 60s one and a bit of a different sound than those ones. I think they wanted like to have that kind of a 70s Who sound, not the 60s Who.
It's like if they had another one, they'd just have to go straight to Pinball Wizard. And it would make no sense at all.
It would make no, Tommy, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can
I'm
you
trying
feel
to think
me?
What the New York Can one was. But it was like, you know, you just list all their hits and just like, I when I remember hearing the New York one and just going,
was
well,
it
they
Teenage
got
a, Wasteland?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Well, you think so. No, wait, I think Teenage Wasteland was Miami, wasn't it?
No, that was Won't Get Fooled Again.
Was it?
Which Teenage Wasteland is
That's
not
right.
called Teenage Wasteland.
No, of course it's
it
not.
It should be called that, but it's actually called Baba O'Reilly. Baba O'Reilly.
So, yeah, it's loosely based on the Cinderella song, Shalakabula, Mysticabula, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. Right?
Yes. No, actually, it's loosely based on the name of his guru,
Bobbidi Boo.
Baba Mayer.
Yeah.
And Terry O'Reilly, the experimental composer or minimalist composer, Terry O'Reilly.
So you're telling me that this was not a tribute to Babar the Elephant?
It's not a tribute to Babar.
Oh, Babar, not Babar.
Yeah, not it's Babar.
Is it?
If you went that way.
If you swing that way with your trunk, it's Babar. That, by the way, in the 70s, if you wanted to know if you were gay or straight, you asked someone to pronounce the name Babar, and you would find out either way. And they go like, the trunk swings to the right,
mm-hmm.
the trunk swings to the left.
You say Tintin or Tantan.
That's right.
Yeah, or if you're really you go Tantan.
Yep.
No N, just Tantan.
You could do that, and asterisk.
Asterix.
There you go. Absolutely. You could be very pretentious.
I never learned it that way.
Is so. Spider-Man? Mr. Spider-Man? You say it like that, like it was a surname?
Homme du Spider.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't think Spider-Man should be French. There's nothing French about Spider-Man at all.
It's the only...
He worries too much to be a Frenchman.
Yeah, and it's not a good city for him. It doesn't have tall enough buildings. There's only the Eiffel Tower. He would just be circling the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, looking for Eiffel Tower crime.
Just all Eiffel Tower-related activities.
Yeah. Maybe swing a little bit off that Moulin Rouge windmill, but that'd be it. No, Spider-Man could not be French because the French is too relaxed.
Le Rhino attacking the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, he's got to be really worried about his rent at all times. You know, just very, very tense.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why is he worried about it? Doesn't he live with Aunt May? Why is he worried about his rent?
Well, what era are we going, Dave? He moved out.
I am a purist.
I'd say he moved out like around issue 30. And then,
did he?
I think so.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, well, I think... Well, by 50, he was moved out for sure.
Well, when you're 50 years old, you should move out.
No, by issue 50, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
And he was out in the city and, you know, he was dating... Your Gwen Stacy. She wasn't dropping. Stacy. Yeah, and then eventually, may she rest in peace. Then he went and he was dating your Mary Jane. May she be retroactively remarried to him, because she got married and then the devil took away their marriage.
He did a, what do you call that when it changes the...
Retcon.
That's right.
They call it bullshit, I think they call
the
it.
The devil's retcon.
Yeah. The devil just came out and just went, hey, you want to not be married? And it's like, okay. And then they weren't married anymore. Except in the newspaper strip. That's the only place that they're still married, in the Spider-Man newspaper strip.
Okay.
Because they had the thing where they weren't married.
Yeah.
They went, you know, and then I think the readers complained, and they went, oh, sorry. And they woke up, and it was all a dream, and they were back to being married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I watched a TV show like that last night, kind of like that.
What was your TV show last night?
I was watching Person of Interest, and it the characters were trapped in a bad situation.
Did they do It Was All a Dream?
They didn't do It Was All a Dream. But they went through this. They went through this long thing where they escape this room, and then they go do these things. And one of the characters gets shot and killed. And you're like, "Holy crap!"
A major character.
A major character just died.
Now is this?
And then it turned out it was a. I'm hoping I'm not spoiling this for people, but it turned out it was the computer was doing a simulation of what this choice that it made, what the outcome might be. And so then it goes back and it does several different outcomes that have different terrible things happening until. It chooses as one, which still has a terrible outcome, but it's a different outcome than the others were terrible.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, because it wasn't a season finale or a mid-season finale.
No, it was like, I think it's the first show after the winter.
Though that's possible too. Like there's certain points where you go like, oh, they'll kill a guy. Like now. They'll kill a guy maybe the first episode in. They'll kill a guy and the first and the last episode out. They'll kill a guy during sweeps. They'll kill a guy during a wedding.
Blame Joss Whedon.
That's right. Well, no, they were killing people. This is soap opera business, you know.
I guess that's the old-timey days. I guess
this
that's
is
true.
Who shot JR nonsense.
I was listening to a show, Ben Acker's show, The Writers.
Nerdist Writers Podcast.
Nerdist Writers Podcast, yeah. And he was interviewing several of the writers for Person of Interest. And one of those kind of roundtables that you don't know who anyone is. And everyone's talking and no one says, this is so-and-so talking now.
By the way, and it also gets nice and confusing because it's Ben Acker and his partner is Ben Blacker, who's sometimes on the show.
Mm.
So it's Ben and Ben, Acker and Blacker. Well, that's now I've just lost who
should
everybody
is. Should be Ben and Blen. That would make it easier to they should just go, this is Ben and this is Blen.
That'd be a very nice thing for them to do.
I think that would be nice. And so they're talking on that, and one of the producers of one of the producers said, "I just had the horrible job of phoning one of the actors to tell them that their character is dying," but he didn't say who it was. So, but when he said that, then I knew this season one of the characters was dying, and so I've just been watching the show the whole time, thinking, "Is this the show? And which character is it?" And I kind of had a suspicion who it would be, and I was right.
Yeah,
but just because that character I felt was kind of surplus to requirement, like it was sort of an interesting character. When it was a character doing its thing as a character, but once it became an appendage of this of the other characters in the show, it seemed like that character's usefulness became this kind of doing what other characters already were doing.
You know, okay. Now is this a major character on the show? Like, would you say A level, B level, C level, D level?
B level character.
B level character.
There's two A level characters,
right?
I would say
on
that show.
I will agree with that.
And then anyone else who's joined them. Is whether it's a policeman or whatever, have been B-level characters.
Now, has the show been on the air long enough that...
This is its third season.
So syndication probably is kicking in very shortly.
Okay.
Which means whoever the actors are on the show, they get royalties for their appearances on the show.
Okay, that's
good.
When
those go on, they're going to be making money now for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Not great, but some money.
Yeah.
It's not the... And the show is still kind of at top of its game. People would not say that show has peaked yet, and I think in the third season.
No, I don't think so.
So, you know, if you're a B-level character and you've got to be killed off at some point, this is a good time to be killed off. You're still going to get some checks in the mail, and you're going to be still that floaty guy who could now go to NCIS or some other stuff. You could be on any of those other things. You could show up on your Hawaii Five-0s, you know, and everyone would be fine.
Good.
Yeah.
And I guess you're right, because you haven't established a character on that on a show that's so identified with you that it's hard for you to break out of that mold and
move
on. No,
you're just a character. You're that kind of person who can do good support, and there'll always be a procedural, you're a CSI, whatever's. We've established there's many CSIs.
Yeah.
We've established there's many NCISs. There's not as many Law and Orders anymore. We had a real abundance of Law and Orders, and then everyone just went at once, nope, and that was the end of that.
Which show was a step too far?
Which show was a step too far?
For the Law and Order.
Well, I think when...
Because I don't think the one where they drive around in an SUV is Law and Order SUV. I don't think that one is... was a step too far, right?
Well, there was
that
a,
one's fine.
There was a parody show that was called that.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But still, no, it's a legit sorry. Joke, but it's I'm also sorry, a very funny series that I'll throw away.
Okay.
I'd say Law and Order England might have been. We've had enough. And then,
did we get that here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that one.
It had the guy from
that's right.
Battlestar Galactica was in it.
Sure.
It had Martha from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
She was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was strange because I thought, oh, this one will do fine. No one wanted to watch it.
Could you say that about every British show? Like, watch any British show, you're like, oh, it has that guy from that other show that you know, and it has that guy from that show. It seems a limited pool. They all go to Los Angeles, I guess,
but
and change their accent.
It's like you had the original Law and Order, which, you know, it was fine. It was the definition of fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, sort of interesting police thing.
It taught us to be really rude on the phone.
Right. You solved the crime. And no one can drink coffee. Let me just tangent off for a second right now.
Don't tangent.
Are you sure?
No, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to tangent for like about 1 minute.
Go ahead.
Like, I know I've bashed Gotham in the past.
Yes.
Okay. So I tried watching a bit of Gotham last night, and let me just say, here's it was just like, fuck you, I yelled at the TV, and here was the scene that I yelled that at the TV.
Yes.
James Gordon is involved with a lady, and her name is Barbara, and they've kind
Barbara
of,
Gordon?
Yes, who is, again, the name of their daughter, and Batgirl is Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
So you can sort of set up that, oh, in the future, Barbara Gordon will be in it. All right, but blah, blah, blah. But her mom is named Barbara Gordon. But maybe they're not going to get married. Who knows? Because whatever. So they've set up in this that she's rich, I suppose, and they're always living in this crazy penthouse apartment. Mm. So it's weird when he's the gritty cop who comes home to luxurious. That's weird. And there's a giant clock.
It's like he's Richard Diamond.
Yeah, and it feels like they've set up a little bit that this is where, you know, Birds of Prey will take place in the future. But anyway, that's a complete side note. I don't care about that. That's fine. The whole show, you know, does the, you know, the guy tells some riddles. Will he be the Riddler? He'll probably be the Riddler.
Yeah. Guy collects penguins. Will he be the Penguin?
He'll probably be the Penguin. Oh, she likes plants. He's probably going to be Poison Ivy. All right. We get it. We know how that goes.
Okay.
But here's the problem. So she is, you know, his girlfriend, maybe wife.
Yeah.
Some such. One of those. I guess she's like his wife. And they've set up her as the shrew character. Do you have to go out and fight the crime? And she's always...
She's so amazed she married a police officer.
Yeah.
And now what?
Yeah, so that's bad already.
That's
but
dumb.
That's generically every show makes that stupid mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But then they hint that, hey, man, she's bisexual.
What?
And the way they play bisexuality in the show as titillating, and it's something the villain, you know, this character Fish Mooney does, you know, she's like kissing girls, but it's a power thing and whatever. It's just like they do creepy bisexuality, not, oh, she's bi. That's the way it is. And then there's a detective who thinks Gordon's corrupt and she used to date Barbara. And so now Barbara's left Gordon for this woman.
Oh.
Okay. So, you know, she's in bed and they're having...
And she's become a arch criminal that cuts people in half, the bisector.
That would probably be a Two-Face thing.
Oh, okay.
But no. She actually is Renee Montoya, who is in the comics, is a gay character and treated really well in the comics, you know, as a good... She's just a good character that's just, you know, she's a, you know. So anyway, they've made her this weird titillating, you know, naughty thing. And so anyway, they end up now together. Barbara has gotten mad at James and ended up in bed with Renee. Okay, so we're doing that. So, you know, the way they're playing it, it's just
I'm glad I don't fight with my wife.
Ugh, they're just doing it so cheap and so titillating. And so what year is this? And then at one point, like Renee is saying, you know, this isn't working out because, you know, this isn't healthy for either of us. And she's completely right. And Barbara's flipping out. And at one point, Barbara calls James. But what's happened is Poison Ivy, who's like a seriously 10-year-old girl, has like broken into the apartment. And now she answers the phone and is pretending that like James is in the bedroom, whatever. But clearly a 10-year-old girl, 12 tops.
Yeah.
So Barbara flips out and smashes the phone and is furious. Not that she's not like having sex with someone. All right. So all that's going on. It's like, this is all bad. It's just bad character. It's bad.
Yeah.
But then at one point, to calm her down, Renee Montoya hands her a cup of coffee, much like the kind I've got here, like the lid on the top.
Yes.
She's, you know, it's a paper cup of coffee from like a Starbucks or whatever.
With the sleeve around it.
Absolutely. Piping hot cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. She takes it, drinks it, holds it sideways, completely sideways, goes, then puts it back down and then starts yelling her next line. She's not swallowing the coffee. The coffee is scalding hot. She's put a full cup of coffee up to her face sideways. Nothing has dripped out over her face. And at that point, I just went, well, now, fuck you. You just don't care. It's bad enough, these choices. But now this, the coffee, you just don't give two shits. I'm sorry. I can accept a lot in this reality. I understand somewhere in this world, Rocket has just crashed into Kansas. Yeah. And there's a little baby flying around. I understand. And I'm buying that.
Wearing its blanket as a cape.
That's right. I'm buying that 100%.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I understand that there's a chemical plant and the guy's going to fall into it at some point, get white-faced, turn into a clown. I'm fine with that. Yeah. But drinking coffee that way? Fuck you, series. I'm out.
Well, it does show I guess it does show like they don't care, like a lack of attention.
They don't care. But Law and Order is also the worst for that. Like they're very bad with hand a cup of coffee, put it sideways, slam it down. No one cares.
When you say put it sideways, you're not describing it quite the way I would.
Horizontally. They pulled it horizontally tipping to their face.
Yeah, they're tipping it right to their nose as if, and it's still a full cup of coffee. Like normally you would never take small little sips.
Right. And like at what point do you hold a cup horizontally to your face? You really don't. Like that's
when you make that dumb mistake of trying to drink water in bed, that's when you do that.
Oh.
Have you ever done that?
Well, I put
I'll have a drink of water. Then you don't feel like, you think, I can drink it without lifting my head off the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tip it, and then you're like, I'll just have a little sip. And then suddenly it's just pouring down your face onto your pillow. And you're I blew it.
Look, Dave.
I blew it, man.
If you wet the bed, you can just say you wet the bed. You don't have to like say that happened.
What?
But we led into this with Law and Order. Now,
why did I wet my pillow?
Law and Order used to be like just, you know, a nice little cop drama. Mm-hmm. They solve the mystery. And then in the order part, you find a flaw in the mystery, and there's some ethical dilemma, and like, how can we prosecute? We have to prosecute, but we might be getting the wrong guy. And there's always a phone call at the end where you find out what they did was incorrect.
Yeah.
There's a twist at the end. Okay, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So that was fine. And then they did Law & Order SVU, and they made them all about rapes and child molesting.
Well, that was what the show was about, right? And then Special Victims Unit.
That's right. And so you're like, oh, how are you going to handle this? I guess with tact. I guess, tastefully, because these are the kind of topics that you would have in a special episode of a show.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's the one where, you know, now all the different Strokes cast calm the fuck down. And they all just like, listen, you know, this kind of thing does happen. You know, they got to really take it down a notch because we can't. But they decided to jack it up 10 notches. And everyone's a comedy character. And your daughter's been raped. Raped. You know, it's that. So they really just went crackers. And then once they did that, all the other Law and Orders fell apart because everyone wanted the crackers, bananas, you know, rape Law and Order, and that's all it is now. So they canceled your Criminal Intents, canceled your Basic one, you canceled your UK one, and now that's the only one that exists. And it's...
What's the only one that exists, right?
Law and Order SVU.
Oh, okay.
Law and Order, rapey, rape, rape, rape. That's the one that exists right now.
You can tell how much I watch them by my total ignorance of...
And it airs all through the day because it's syndicated, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, the most graphic, you know, rape-related crimes, and it's like 8 in the morning.
Well, that's the same with Criminal Minds. That show is incredibly graphic, and it's on whenever you feel like watching it.
Okay.
Do you want to watch it? Do you want to watch some people? Want to watch there's an amazing amount of serial killers
out there.
But
what I think happened, though, was Law & Order, the original one, wasn't. It was very, it was like Columbo level.
Very matter-of-fact, yeah.
Yeah, it was Columbo level.
It was a procedural.
So when it syndicated on A&E and ran forever on A&E, you know, you could run it at 8, and it's like, oh, that's fine. It's just the nice cops, and they're doing things, and oh, what a twist. And then they went, well, we got this other one. Okay, well, we'll just air it right after that one. But no, you didn't look at it, and even when it started kind of mild, and then went crackers, bananas. So now it's the only one that really, like, airs, and it's, it's just... I'm a bit of a prude when it comes to that one, Dave. Let me tell you that much.
You are a prude. I was going to say something about that. Oh, Criminal Minds. What I enjoy with that show, and I don't watch it myself, but I live in a house where it's watched. So by osmosis, i.e. walking past the television when it's playing, what I enjoy most about that show is that every single character on the show had their own serial killer. It's so weird. But at some point, a serial killer wants to kill one of the members of the team.
It's amazing there's that many serial killers.
Everyone.
In the same city.
Well, I guess because they're all based in Washington, so I guess the serial killer comes after them in Washington and
now,
hunts
them
down.
Main characters are there? Five?
I think there's five on the team, and then there's one satellite that sits. She's like the computer.
Yeah, is there a
expert.
Nerdy girl?
There's a nerdy girl.
Oh, she's good.
And she was also a victim of a serial killer who became fixated on a person that's not even on the team. It's not visible to anyone, and yet.
Let me tell you how good those computer people are, and you can tell how amazing a computer person. Like there's
by
there's,
the style of their glasses.
Well, I mean, of course.
Okay.
None of them will get the LASIK surgery. Because the doctor would end up being a villain, and they would try to burn their eyes.
Right.
That's what that would happen.
He would be the
absolutely.
Be the
they would. The serial killer would be the LASIK surgeon.
Yeah.
So smart for them keeping glasses. Mm-hmm. They're so good when they type. They do not need a space bar. They never need to use the space bar nor the enter key. They just type in the middle of the keyboard,
yeah.
And they get everything done. Never have to use the mouse.
No.
Never.
No.
Touch the mouse. Just the center keys on the keyboard, and they can hack into the Pentagon.
And they're fast typers as well.
Oh, they're really good. So fast that you think like the computer couldn't handle that amount of fast.
Yeah.
But incorrect. They're fine. Yeah. They're really good at their computer work. Have you never used a computer, people who were doing this show?
Well, I think it's just they want it over with fast. I don't think they want people slowing down because it would be realistic. I mean, if it was me, it would be type, type, type. Oh, damn it. Backspace, 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 yeah. Backspace. Type, type, type. Oh, backspace, backspace.
That's why they all now have the giant computers in the rooms that they can use their hands on. You know,
that don't exist.
Well, actually, they kind of do.
Well, we have touch screens, but we don't have ones that are like holograms that float in the air in front of us, do we? Is that existing now?
Maybe we...
Am I out of the loop?
Do you know what I'd like to see? Is a show like Lear Criminal Minds with the team of five and the floating screen, but all of those people are serial killers. So those are the ones that are just, it's like every week they've got to like
actually... You can call it, I got a name for it.
Go ahead.
Dexterous.
Nice.
Thank you.
I like it. But like, yeah, every week they just commit a crime.
Yeah.
And it's that one.
Then you see. So I don't know. I don't know if I like that idea.
You don't?
Well, because that show is...
I don't either. It's terrible.
That show is kind of the... Because that Criminal Minds show is kind of the lead-in to the horror that is Hannibal. And I don't mind the show Hannibal, but it's horrible in what it shows, like in terms of the graphic nature of the crime scenes and stuff like that.
I think it's really dumb, though, that they haven't figured out that the cannibal is the guy named Hannibal. It's sort of like looking for a tax evader, and you've got a guy named Max Evader that's right there. It's like, who could it be? Who could the tax evader be? Max Evader?
But it's when you watch Hannibal that you know who to blame for serial killers, which is Pinterest. Because they seem to have a lot of time to put people on antlers or cut people's backs and make them into angel wings and stuff like that. Which, who has time for that? People on Pinterest. That's all.
Yeah.
No one else. There's no one on Earth who has a time to like make a cozy for their couch, except for someone on Pinterest. I don't know where.
Yeah, the time management is pretty impressive. Now, Hannibal actually is a psychiatrist in this, right?
In the show Hannibal.
Yeah, I've only watched the first season. So he's a psychiatrist?
I've only watched to be honest, I've watched bits and pieces of the first season.
Okay, but like as a psychiatrist, you've got, you work during the day, right? Like he's got to be able to like make money to fund his house and his serial killing. Mm-hmm. So he must have a couple of clients. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you, again, as you say, how do you find the time to go out and do all your kill?
Well, it seems like he is a special advisor to the FBI.
Right.
So he's getting some consultancy money. That's pretty good. But he has a practice.
Yeah.
He has a practice as well. Because Will is one of his patients, I guess. And then he has other people that, you know, you see him talking to.
A guy I used to write for was one of the serial killers in the first half.
Oh, really?
In the first season. Yeah. Hmm. He was one of the musician guy. He did the...
Did the garrotting.
Garrotting.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I remember that one. And so... Yeah, it's but
it used to be on Street Sense. That's
what. That's where you know him from. That's where he started his life of crime. What I think is, why I think he has time is that he doesn't care. He doesn't do anything else though. Like it's not like he comes home and he's like, "What should I do? I'm gonna go and kill someone." And then he's like, 3 hours later, he's like, "Oh, fucking Facebook! God damn it! I just sat down for a minute to check my messages."
Look at how he cooks though. Like, you know when he cooks himself breakfast, you know he pulls a full Dedrick. He's got all the pans going, right? He's got the bacon, the human bacon, but then he's also got the eggs. Mm-hmm. He's got an English muffin toasting. Yeah. He's got a lot of work. And then, like, he cleans up. I'm sure he cleans.
Yeah.
Because you got to clean your own pans.
But he has a maid who comes in and
he's
cleans
up. He's a cannibal. He's got to clean up. He can't have the human bones
hanging
there.
I know.
You know?
But I don't think he does. I don't think he, like, I don't think he butchers
and
in his kitchen.
He's got to make himself lunch.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got to make, and you know, his lunch is elaborate, and then his dinner is a production. So, like, that time is gone. Yeah. Then you add into that your work day.
But that's his hobby.
You know, he, like, goes out picking sheets for the bed because that's a thing. So, like, when's he got the time? He does have the saggy eyes. He looks like he doesn't get a lot of sleep.
I think you're hitting on the
reality.
The central reality of the. Because I'm sure I mentioned it before, but I always love Alan Moore's. They were talking to him about From Hell. And he just poo-pooed the whole idea of this, you know, like the Hannibal Lecter style serial killer. It's just a complete fabrication. He goes, those guys don't care about music or art or anything like that. You could just be banging a tin can for all they care.
Right.
All they think about is murdering people. That's their thing.
Well,
that's their pleasure.
Thing. Well, that's your thing, though, as a writer, right? You take what the person is, and now we got to play the opposite so that you're distracted, right? It's like the gentleman jewel thief. A jewel thief is, you know, just like, I'm gonna steal your stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's right. A junkie, right? Yeah. He's going to steal your necklace when you're not looking.
That's right.
But
it's not Raffles.
No, you make him a proper David Niven type. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get in and blah, blah, blah. And I only steal from people who can afford it. Fuck you, you do. You steal from anyone who anything.
Yeah.
Shut up. You just steal from those who afford it. Did you start by stealing from people who afford it? Did you work your way up? How'd you do it? How'd you start, Jack? You know, shut up.
No, you're right there. But, I mean,
I'm the gentleman arsonist. Somehow, I only burn what deserves it.
Somehow glamorizing jewel thieves, whether it's the Thomas Crown Affair or To Catch a Thief or whatever, that seems somehow less horrible than glamorizing serial killers.
Oh, of course it does.
You know, like Henry, A Portrait of a Serial Killer, to me is a much better film than any of the... Well, Silence of the Lambs is a good movie, but I think any of the other films, I think they're too...
Now, the guy who played Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, is he the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy with
yeah.
the red fin on his head?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice
Michael,
journey.
Michael, gosh. Come on, people. Tell me. What is it?
Yeah, he's
Michael
also,
something.
He's also in Walking Dead.
He's a guy who... there's probably other actors that this happened to, but I think he's the guy who was in a movie and was so good in that role that he wrecked his career, you know?
You think so?
Yeah, I think that really affected his career as an actor.
If we looked at his internet movie database, you wouldn't see like a whole bunch of work from between then and now?
I think you'll see a lot of character stuff, but I don't think you'll see a lot of star stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what he did, which was really impressive.
Like, I think that film was so real to people.
Yeah, that was very disturbing.
That he really poisoned his well.
Until the point where now he's in, you know, the number one movie
Rooker,
of the year.
Michael Rooker.
There you go. Number one movie of the year, and he's a funny kind
Thank
of
you.
Character.
I picked up all our listeners' psychic vibrations they were sending out, just
yeah,
frustrated.
Just screaming at you.
It's Rooker!
Yeah. Do you hear that when you do a joke? Do you hear them responding at the same time?
No.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, think about that. Why? Anyway, So Rooker, you know, you get him now in the mainstreamest movie, kills a bunch of people, and we're all like, ah, that guy. Ah, we still like him.
Mm-hmm.
But where I think you see that he's a really good actor is, you know, he played on Walking Dead, and I've only seen...
I've watched that show up to the third show, so...
Okay. But he plays a reprehensible, you know, he's a criminal, he's a racist, he's a terrible human being.
See the guy that kicks his hand off with the handcuffs?
Yeah. Okay. He's, you know, he's all the worst things in the world, but you can't not watch him.
Yeah.
And so it's like, good for him. Like, that could be the character that everyone's just like, kill him, kill him. But you're like, no, don't kill. We kind of really, we're interested in him, though. What's the deal with him? Yeah. Okay, he built some levels into it. Okay. You know, so which lets him play a weird space pirate, you know, with a fin on his head, with a magic arrow that whistles. And then he whistles and the arrow goes, okay, boss. And the arrow goes and does its business.
Yeah. No, he's a good character. You're right. I was just kind of thinking about that role because I don't know if that's happened to other actors that they played a role that was so terrible in a way that they couldn't escape it. I mean, there's been movies that have wrecked. I'm thinking of Peeping Tom, which destroyed Michael Powell, the director's career. That film was so horrifying to British audiences that he pretty much scuppered his directing career.
But look at someone like Ralph Fiennes, you know? So you got Schindler's List, and he's the worst. He's the worst in that. Like, the worst.
Yeah.
You know, and yet, we're fine with him in a bunch of movies. You know, everything's fine. You know, you can be in your Harry Potters later. We're all right.
But, you know, well, the Harry Potter, I mean, he's so unrecognizable that you're not going to think, oh, that's Ralph Fiennes.
Okay, but he's worked consistently.
It's a fantasy,
he's worked
right?
consistently mm-hmm. since, you know, Schindler's List.
Yeah,
There's a role where you could always think of that guy because he's blonde, he's got the Aryan looks.
Yeah.
That could have been a, well, now you're done.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if you can be now you're done anymore. I don't know if that's possible. Do you think in this day and age you could do a film that you're just so locked into that no one can ever see you as anyone else again?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. And maybe you're right. Maybe our sensibilities can't be shocked the way they were by Henry, you know, now. Like, it's not like 1980s anymore. That film really felt like someone was pouring salt on a raw wound, you know, when you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, now when you watch a movie that borrows from that, you don't feel anything, I guess. And what I'm saying is we become numb. We're just numb to all that. Although, I mean, I guess
if you do a sitcom, then you might be in some trouble. Might not be able to do movies. If you're a David Schwimmer, I think that might screw you over mm-hmm. for films, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
I can see that. If you're just too recognizable as that.
I guess.
Do you think like a Seinfeld could be a lead in a movie? Like,
well, he's not a good enough actor to do it.
Well,
so.
Well, like that stopped a lot of people. But like, you know, they would never
it
think
does.
Of putting...
It lets him do it once, but it stops him from doing it twice, I think.
Yeah. You know, I guess Tim Allen had stuff for a while there, and he, you know, he was kind of that one-note guy.
He was okay. I mean, he was in Galaxy Quest. He's pretty good at
that.
Yeah,
he's fine, you know.
I think he, given the proper role, he's okay. But yeah, he's a bit limited. I don't think he could. And a movie like that, obviously, he's not carrying the film. He's just part of an ensemble, so it works better for him.
And that Tom Hanks guy, he's never going to work after Bosom Buddies, so.
He is so locked into that. Well, that show wasn't a success, so.
It was a couple of seasons. What was it, 2-3 seasons?
It was 2 seasons, but it was never a success. It was kind of one of those hanging around kind of shows.
I liked it, and it was always.
Oh, I did too.
It was right.
But didn't they radically change it the second season?
Yes, they aired it before as well. Let me just say they aired it before Police Squad. So I used to like watching that mm-hmm. Block of time.
It's a good double.
And Bowie, my dad did not enjoy either of those shows, so I had to watch them when he wasn't around. But the second season they had them more working in the ad company. They shuffled.
Well, they
it
moved
around
them out of the ladies' place, didn't they? And they had
did
their own
they?
Apartment. Something I can't. I'm really, to be
that
honest,
seems,
I mean, it's
that
been
seems
a while.
To miss the point of the show.
It does
then.
Seem to miss it, but it seems like, to me, it seems like they changed it quite radically from the
season you know
first
what I used
to
second. Think, though, watching the show. Now, those of you that don't know the show, the idea is they couldn't find these two friends. They could not find an apartment in New York.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
So they move into a breast factory.
What? No, huh?
What? Did I not see the?
No, I don't
no.
think so.
Okay.
They dress as ladies and they move into a ladies, you know, a building. Just ladies. So that's creepy. That's a creepy premise. Anyway, so they're doing that, and they're creeping around, and they're creeps.
I think I'm thinking of Mamoramal.
One more time? All right. Did you hear everyone respond to that? Go for it.
I can't do it.
Was that a pun on manimal,
yes.
but mammariable? Is that what it was?
Mammeral.
Are you thinking
I
of...
I said mammeral.
Are you thinking of Mamory's Place? The Vicki Lawrence sitcom?
No, not thinking of that at all.
I Remember Mammaries? Is that what you're thinking about?
No.
Okay.
No, wasn't thinking of that either.
Are you thinking Love a Mammary Style? Is that what
right.
you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. That's right. what I had in my mind.
Anyway, I just pictured there was they were so dumb in that building that there's a whole bunch of dudes that are all impersonating women, and those are all the background characters. That's what they should have had for the extras, is it's all dudes except for,
guys.
You know, a couple of women.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been good. The lady who sang in Dawn with
Tony
Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, there's a black woman on the show.
Now, was Dawn two women?
Yes, Dawn was two women.
Okay.
But she left Dawn, apparently, and moved on.
Right. And Pink Lady, from Pink Lady and Jeff, a similar TV show to Tony Orlando and Dawn, Pink Lady was two ladies as well.
Oh, okay.
So in that era, you could call two ladies by one name.
Yeah.
And we'd be cool with that.
Sure, it's fine. Well, I mean... Well, I guess they were. I guess it was pluralized for the Pips.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's right. It wasn't Gladys Knight and the Pip, and yet it was a group of guys.
But I mean, Dawn describes like a thing. It doesn't describe like Dawn was like they were like a singing group. They probably were a singing group before they joined with Tony Orlando.
Do you think so?
That was called Dawn, and then they.
You're making assumptions.
I am, but I think that's a fair assumption.
Right.
Plus, it sounds cool, Tony Orlando and Dawn. Although, if you didn't see it spelled out, you might think it's two guys. Tony Orlando and his friend, his buddy Don.
And so, of course, they were...
Who plays bongos.
Oh, that's nice.
This will
so they
sings.
Did Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
Tie a Yellow Ribbon,
They
yeah.
did Knock Three Times on the Ceiling, If You Want Me.
I think it's on the window, isn't it? Ceiling, really? Knock three times on the ceiling?
Do you think it's on the window? Maybe I was thinking... No, are you being serious right now?
I thought it was on the window.
No, you could not be more wrong.
It's
no.
a creepy stalker song.
It is, but it's not...
It's played in Criminal Intent, right? Or Criminal Minds, they had it in there. Knock three times.
I've got no idea. All right,
On the window if you want.
No. Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
They did...
Wait, let me continue.
Okay, sorry.
Twice on the pipe.
Twice
if the answer is no.
Oh, is that right how it works?
Yeah.
If the British are coming... Knock three times in the ceiling.
That's right.
If they're coming by land, knock three times in the ceiling. If they're
coming
by
Paul,
sea,
it's Paul Revere and the booty call. and then when he was making love to a lady,
mm-hmm.
he would yell, "The British are coming."
That's
because
right.
he called his genitalia the British.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
He also did that song, "Sweet Gypsy Rose," or something like that. Has anybody seen my Sweet Gypsy Rose?
Is that Paul Revere and the Raiders? Are you doing a Paul Revere and the Raiders joke?
No, that was Tony Orlando and Don.
Very good.
Yeah.
Tell me a Paul Revere and the Raiders song.
Steppin' Out. Indian Reservation?
Wow, I don't like any of these titles.
Kicks?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and the deal was they dressed like revolutionaries.
Yeah.
All right.
They had a few hit songs.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
They used to be on a lot of 70s shows.
Mm-hmm.
The 70s, Dave, let me just say this.
They were a 60s act before they came out of the Northwest scene.
And yet, when the bicentennial was coming up,
yeah.
having a band that dressed like patriots seemed like a good idea.
But they were doing it long before that. They were a reaction to the British invasion.
Oh.
It was Paul Revere and the Raiders.
I see.
Yes, you see. Now you get it. Now you see. Kicks keep getting harder to find something like that.
Oh, my God.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
All right. Jeez. It's hard. Okay, wait a second. Kicks keep getting harder to find.
Something
that
like
was
that.
What it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And the Kicks are...
It was an anti-drug song in the 60s.
Right. And Kicks were kid-tested and mother-approved.
You think of the sneakers.
I'm thinking of the cereal.
Oh, okay. Because weren't Kicks sneakers as well?
Kicks are currently sneakers.
Or am I thinking of Keds? Maybe getting Keds.
No, people.
Keds keep getting harder to find. That's what the song was.
And Kicks as well.
Yeah.
Did you ever try Kicks the cereal?
No, I never.
It wasn't great.
We weren't allowed to have sugary cereals when I was a kid, except for Fruit Loops when we went on vacation.
Okay.
That was it. That was our one treat on vacation. Not our one treat. Obviously, we were on vacation. That's kind of the treat. But our little treat when we went on vacation was my mom would buy Fruit Loops.
We were allowed to have Twinkies when we were on vacation. Because
nice.
We're usually in the States. And
yeah.
in Canada, you could not find a Twinkie.
Because Trudeau
would not allow it.
It was too close to his name.
Yeah. So, but you could have a Vachon. You could have a Half Moon, which is very similar.
Mm.
But God damn it, you want a Twinkie as a kid. Because they have all the ads in the comics, and that's the one you want.
Yeah, that's right.
Good hard selling the kids on the snack foods back then.
That's nice. So were you allowed during the rest of the year to have Twinkies or any kind of like half
well,
moons?
Well, there
or...
was no access to Twinkies.
But I mean like half moons or Vachon
once
whatever.
In a while, yeah, but not a lot.
No.
You know, if you're at grandma's house, she'd slip you one. You'd be fine. But like the parents, not so much, no.
Hmm. And my grandma didn't slip us that. That's too bad. Too bad for us.
Where was your source of candy as a kid? You had
to pay for your own? Halloween. Yeah, I had to pay for my own.
Once a year, Halloween.
What I would do, no, I was sneakier. What I would do is my mom would send me to the grocery store to buy milk on my bicycle. So I'd ride to the grocery store.
Right.
And I felt it was my right as the person who went there to take the extra change and buy something for myself. So I would, depending on what I had left over, I would buy something. So.
And she would never ask you for the receipt?
She would ask me for the change back and I'd say I spent on a candy.
Oh, well, that was honest.
Yeah.
And what type of chocolate bar would you buy?
I don't think I could ever afford a chocolate bar, but I could usually afford popcorn twists or Pep Chews, which are a nickel. So that's a pretty good deal for Pep. You know, remember Pep Chews? They're pretty awful, but they're just
that's not a good deal.
They're just a peppermint.
It's really the horrible candy is never a good deal, no matter how much you.
It's a peppermint taffy.
Oh yeah.
Pep Chew. And, yeah, it was pretty awful, but it was
why
a nickel.
Didn't you, Dave?
It was a nickel.
Why didn't you just get a bazooka gum?
Nickel.
Bazooka gum.
Yeah, I would get that, too.
You know, the rock-hard
mm-hmm.
gum with the joke.
Get
the
that, or I'd buy hockey cards and get the gum from that. But then you get the hockey cards, too.
Right, but then you're shredding your mouth with a razor sharp.
I love that gum.
I don't agree with that at all.
No?
No.
It's good stuff.
It tasted
good, and I like how it crunched into little brittle pieces in your mouth. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, razor
that
sharp pieces
yeah,
with
yeah.
that nice dry,
hey.
Kind of flowery
sure.
Nonsense on top
you,
of it.
You know what? Life is risk. Life is risk. You can't just live your life out in safety land, man. You got to go into the danger zone
okay.
and have some gum from Opeachy hockey cards.
Okay. Then I'm going to, well, you know what? Here's the thing. It's like, it's Opeachy, right? So
mm-hmm.
they make the Bazooka Joe.
Mm.
So why isn't the gum as good as the Bazooka Joe gum?
It is Bazooka Joe gum. It's a squish
no,
flat. It's the same flavor.
Is it?
Same flavor.
It was good.
I don't know about this.
Isn't Bazooka Joe basically like a
punishment for children?
Tutti Frutti or like a fruit salad or a tropical fruit kind of flavor? Isn't that what it is? Like,
I think equivalent bubblegum flavor.
But what is bubblegum flavor?
You could also get it. Okay, well, we can discuss that in a second. You could also get it in cherry, and I tried to get it in the cherry flavor when I could.
Okay.
What is bubblegum flavor? Good point. There's a bit of fruit, like it's a tropical fruit punch kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I think. And there's the same in the packages. And if you got enough hockey card packages, then you had like a thick piece that you could really
crunch into.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to save them
up. I'm not going to get any staler.
Yeah, well, if you're going to save them up, why not just save up and get a chocolate bar?
I don't know. Because you need the hockey cards. How are you going to go play hockey cards at school?
What do you mean play hockey cards? What do you do?
You didn't play hockey cards? Well,
explain.
Okay, well, there's different games. Like my favorite game was you took three hockey cards and you leaned them against the wall.
Okay.
And then you threw your cards.
Then you put them in the French Revolution. You execute them.
That's right. They give them a cigarette and then you'd use it.
Right. No. Back then, kids had cigarettes.
We were allowed to. We had Popeye cigarettes. So you just put a Popeye cigarette in them. And then you throw a hockey card at the cards that are leaning against the wall. And if you knock one over, that's your card.
Okay.
And it was just a way to get cards. So, you know, like instead of just trading cards, which is kind of boring to do. You know, where you just sat there going, got it, need it. And then you just sort them like that. You and your friends would take your cards and you'd use extra ones that you didn't want and you'd put them against the wall.
Okay.
And then using your cards, you know, and if you're good, you could get quite a few cards that way. The other way to get cards was wait for some guy who was, didn't want his cards at all. And he would just like throw about five or six of them in the air and just yell scramble. And there would just be a mad scramble of kids fighting to get these hockey cards, you know. And you ended up with like the lowest of the low. People you didn't care about at all.
Wow, that seems very hockey-ish. Fighting.
Yeah, it was fun. No, I liked. I think that was a bit it for hockey card games.
You know what I never got, and like my nephew plays hockey now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you never win anything at the end of the hockey game. But like, when do you
mean you never win anything at the end?
Well,
of
you
hockey
win, right?
Yeah, that's you win.
You win, but
that's something.
You never win like now you get a this and you get a that. Like I was thinking, like you know who should get hockey cards? The kids who win a hockey game. It's like you win a hockey game, you all get hockey cards.
That'd be nice, but I don't think cards are as popular as they were.
Do you know what they do like though? They enjoy the magic cards.
Mm.
Kids are still into the magic cards.
Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
Well, I could see that. I mean, there's a game associated with it. I mean, unless you have like a wide circle of friends who also have hockey cards and are willing to like trade them back and forth. The problem was in the 90s, the hockey card industry became collectibles.
Yeah.
You know, and so rather than playing with your cards the way that we did when we were kids and they're all dog-eared, and when I look at...
You put them in your bike?
I still have my hockey cards from when I was a kid, wrapped in an elastic band sitting in my cupboard. And I was looking at them a little while ago and they're just all dog-eared. You know, you can see where they were thrown and landed on the ground and they're dirty and they're faded, you know. But I have a Tim Hortons one, which is kind of funny to have.
Like, oh, neat.
And it says in the back of it, it talks about the fact that he opened a donut shop. And there's like, they had these little cartoons with trivia, which that was actually my favorite part of those hockey cards was the little cartoon in the back with trivia about the hockey player. And his trivia was he opened a donut store. Isn't that funny? Because he thought it would be a good idea to have a drive-through donut stand that also sold coffee. It was a revolutionary idea. Other hockey players wouldn't invest in it because they thought it was a dumb idea.
Nice job, other hockey players who aren't as rich as he got.
Well, he died.
I know he died, but did he die rich?
No, he didn't really hadn't really taken off before
he
died.
Let's say this about that.
He was driving back from Buffalo.
Canada says thank you for all the donuts because they are enjoyed every day by people who need to wake up and have limited options and go, fuck it, I'll eat there.
Fuck it, I'll line up for 20 minutes.
Yeah, well,
in
they
my
don't...
car.
Yeah.
Sitting in line.
Yeah. They do.
I'll say they do.
Now, I think you touched on something earlier that might be a million-dollar idea.
Oh, a million-dollar idea. Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Sure.
You got to take this seriously.
Okay.
This is a million-dollar idea.
I got it.
Now, I'm saying it on the air so anyone can run with this idea.
Yeah.
You're saying how kids like the magic because it's associated with a game.
Yeah.
But they're not as interested in the hockey cards anymore. Well, let's put those two together. Is there a way of making a game with hockey cards? Like there's something these hockey players do. You just strategize and you do your business and you win cards and you lose cards, which you do in the magic. But with the world, David, of hockey. And you use all the players from history.
Well, I guess I guess you could do that. If you just had like a straight deck of cards, let's say you had a straight deck of cards with just all the players in the National Hockey League.
Got it. All right. Now.
And then both of you have the same deck.
Right.
I mean, you could play it like a kind of like a game of war, you know, where like they're scoring or whatever, like some sort of whatever kind of stats. you can decide whatever stats you want to count. Whoever has the better stats wins that the turnover, you know. So when you turn over, you know, whomever with, you know, with some player with another player, then you go, oh, this guy is a better, whatever.
Yeah, it'd be good whatever. If you knew the stats and that mattered a little bit, like it would help you. But yeah, some are rare, some are not, you know, and then, yeah, you're just winning the other person's cards.
Oh, that'd be even better, actually. So you if you turn both your cards over,
yeah,
and then one of you had to say what stat you wanted to go with.
Ah.
And the other person could say, do the same thing.
Yep.
So you could say, well, I'm, you know, his, whatever, his, you know, number of goals he scored or assists.
The amount of donut shops he's opened.
Sure, or his plus minus or whatever you think would be the best stat that this person has. Then you can both decide, you know. So if you think he's a better scorer and this guy thinks he's a better defensive player or whatever, you can choose a stat set or, you know, you'd do something like that, I think.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
I think that would be a good game, and I think it would play very well in Canada.
It would play really well with nerdy stat lovers.
Yeah.
Because those guys are just like,
let me tell you where you sell them, Dave.
Yeah.
Hockey games. You sell them there, and it also is good for weekend dads who are like, oh, got to buy my kids something. Hey, we're at hockey. Hey, you like cards. Here's some cards. And then they do
What are weekend dads?
Weekend dads are dads that just see their kids on the weekend.
They're really tired? Oh, I thought you meant they're just so tired from their life that they're in a weakened state.
No. Oh, well, they could also be, you know, they probably are. Probably beaten down a little bit.
But this is weekend. Okay, I see what you mean. So they're just dads on the weekend.
They want to buy the kids something, and so they buy them that, and then like, hey, we can play the cards together. We'll play that game together. And you can play it with your friends. Yeah, there you go. Huh? $1 million idea. Fuck this show. The guy was just doing this show until we came up with $1 million idea.
Well, I guess it is $1 million idea. I mean, you'd have to... Now we have to negotiate with the NHL to license the image.
You know, here's the thing, Dave. This,
the NHLPA has to be involved in it.
Here's something that happened this...
Players agents.
In January 1st. Let me tell you something that happened.
What?
There's a fella, and his name is James Bond. Now, did you read about this today?
No.
You know where I'm going with this?
No, I've been kind of on a news blackout since the news yesterday.
Okay, very good. There was, of course, sad news yesterday.
Very sad news.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
I was reading about it today, but it's very sad.
Okay, I'm going to
talk... But you go on with James Bond.
I'm going to talk about this.
You're less sad news.
This is less sad news. Well, it depends. You know, to some people it's sad because they make less money. But James Bond went into public domain in Canada. The books.
Okay.
Not in the States, but in Canada and some other places around the world.
Great.
They have a different public domain law, which is why we had Sherlock Holmes before.
Yeah.
So, James Bond is public domain.
Oh, fantastic.
So, the news kind of broke on that.
Is that
today.
Every, not all the books though, right?
I think.
Because the books come out
the
later.
The Ian Fleming books.
All of them
Of the Ian Fleming books, yeah,
wow.
Because it's his death plus 50 years.
Okay.
So he died in 64, I think, so that's now. So January it went over. So yeah, all the Ian Fleming books.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, also Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, knock your stuff out. So you can publish a James Bond book if you want. You can't use anything from the films, obviously. You can only use stuff from the novels.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this should be treated respectfully, and I immediately ripped something off. So what I did was I booked the Rio Theater on the 5th.
Yeah.
And we're going to do an adventure of James Bond coming to Canada.
Oh, okay.
So it's called, here we go. You ready for it, Dave?
Sure.
All right. Canada Saving Bond.
Because
he's saving Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's February 5th, and we're going to be putting that show on. So we're writing it and doing it, and there'll be some improv in it as well. But yeah, James Bond, public domain. So anyone there in Canada who's listening, you know, you want to do something with James Bond, it's all yours. Or just publish a James Bond book that's already been written.
So February 5th, so that's a Thursday.
That is a Thursday.
Okay.
So we'll do our show, and then we'll go off to that.
Sounds fun.
All right.
I'll wear a tuxedo.
Okay. Now, backing up. All right. We got one other thing to address before we get probably to that. We did our Podmash show at Skinny Fat Jack's
on Sunday,
this weekend. Mm. And did you want to go over that? Were you wanting to post that or something while we're here? Talk about it.
You seem to want to, and if you want to.
Sure.
I thought we could do it after while we eat. But.
Oh, okay. Sure. No, it was... I found it quite fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed...
I'm still a little frustrated with us, but...
Why are you frustrated with us?
I just feel like we're chicken shits.
Oh, tell me about it. Go ahead.
Do you agree with me? Do you know where I'm going?
Tell me about it.
We cannot do our show live.
What is our show?
This. What we're doing right now.
You mean just fucking around talking about Law and Order for that amount of time?
Yeah. we just cannot bring ourselves to do that live because we get scared because it's too quiet. And then we start hamming it up and just joking like crazy.
Do you think we don't ham it up on this show?
Not as much as that. Like, I think that we have a more of a conversation with dumb jokes in it, but I don't think I don't, to be honest, and I'm sorry to tell a listener this.
No, go ahead.
I rarely think of them when we're doing the show.
Okay.
I'm actually thinking about you and telling jokes that will make you react.
All right.
I'm not really thinking about people listening because I can't see them, you know? So I know that they're listening and I do appreciate that they're listening, but I'm not thinking about them because I can't see them.
Now, do you think we should try and, like, do you think it's a positive to try and do the same show that we do here when we're doing a live show?
Well,
do you think,
you're saying
it's a chicken shit thing, and that's fair. You know, definitely I'm more nervous at the live shows. I can hear that in my voice that I'm more tense and I'm aware of a crowd and I want to keep bringing the crowd in and making them
part of it. You're much more nervous than I am.
Yeah.
I feel like you're more nervous
than me. Well, now, okay, let's do a double on that.
But I'm also nervous, though.
Okay, so. But I'm nervous in, I think, a different way.
Yeah.
In that I don't think I'm ever scared during our shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done enough shows. But I am, I think, more aware of the audience and their reactions and wanting to keep bringing them in.
Yeah.
Like, I feel it's rude if it's just the two of us and all of a sudden we're breaking off and having a conversation and they're watching us have a conversation. I want them to be interactive with us.
Yeah.
So if I don't feel we're bouncing what we're saying off the audience, then we're cutting them out of a conversation. It feels like when you're at a dinner table and just two people are talking and there's other people there and you're like, you know, if I could in any way bring the audience in, you know, as much as possible, I want to do that.
That's true to a degree. But
I feel it's selfish.
Well, it is selfish, but I mean, we are the performers in that way, you know, and if we're not really at a dinner table, we are on a stage and the audience is there to watch us. And if people come because they like our show and then we don't do our show, I feel like we are, you know, that we're changing ourselves when we go, when we do something live.
And yet, have you ever listened to like a WTF? And like you hear his interviews in the studio, and then when he does his live shows,
totally different,
very different.
Yeah.
When it's you know, You Made It Weird, and he does his live shows.
I've never heard them, but
well, it's very similar.
Sure,
it's like,
I can understand,
because when you've got an audience in front of you, like admittedly, your energy goes up, and if you're a stand-up
and
or a performer,
but your motivation
anyway,
becomes different too. I think
your motivation becomes to do a good live show.
Becomes about, instead of doing a podcast, you're doing a live show, and it's no longer a podcast,
right?
You know, and so I'm curious. I don't think we could do it. I think it would be really hard for us because both of us are comedians, you more than me, but both of us are comedians and we thrive on laughter. You know, in this show, we don't
even know if it's laughter that's
the problem.
Don't
you think so? Or at least reaction or something.
Here's what happened.
Working in total silence would be terrible.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
Okay, but here's what happened to me with this show.
Okay.
And maybe you guys have listened to the show, maybe you haven't.
Yeah.
But like, I thought, okay, when I was planning it, I was like, okay, I've got a little bit of a quiz.
Yeah.
And so this quiz will set us off a bouncing because there's a lot of things to do with this quiz. You know, it gets you talking about the Beatles, and I know your Beatles well is infinitely deep, infinitely deep.
Yeah.
You know.
See what happened with that.
You know, so it's like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah.
So I'll start us off with this. This will probably build your confidence up here as well. Give us a little room, and then we'll jam on whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then my hope was that we put a little bit of truth into the episode too, because I think like what we do here is we dick around a bit, and then by the end of it, we're talking about how our moms didn't love us. And I'm like, okay, but we get to that.
My mom loved me.
So I'm hoping that we'll get to something like that, but we'll get to it through this.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring up the quiz off the top,
yes.
And I'm like, okay, within a minute, can you name this amount of things? You name three things and one, fuck it. And I was like, well, there we go. So what's the dynamic now? The dynamic now for me is the other thing that we do on the show, which is I make fun when you bail on shit. So now I'm coming at you like a hammer.
Yes.
So I'm doing that for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay,
that felt
fine and that felt real and the audience was
fine. Can I tell you why I did that?
Why is that?
Because about the third answer and I realized, first thing, I'm terrible at those kind of quizzes because I do not have a good memory for stuff like that. Like I just terrible at, like... I remember one time they were playing the Beatles alphabetically on the radio, and I was like, I love the Beatles. I can name all the songs. I did not get one right. I was wrong every time. I couldn't remember what the next song would be. Like, I'm just terrible. That sort of information, it doesn't stay in my head. So when I got to, like, the third answer, and then I was starting to pause, And I was like, oh my God, we can't take out these pauses. Like on the, here I could cut them out so it sounds really smart, but there I can't.
Yeah.
So then I just didn't bail on it. I just made a joke about it. You know, it's like, I've done it. You know, I'm a Beatles expert. I've named three songs.
Right.
That's all there are. Right. You know, and then you had your fun with me. And I thought that was kind of fun. I think it actually did kind of break the ice in a different way than you expected, I guess.
Well, what I wanted to do off the top was, here's the thing. When I'm doing some sort of comedy piece,
yeah.
I feel like, you know, there's people in the audience that know us.
Yes.
And then there's people that don't know us because mm-hmm. they're people who are there because they're friends or know the other shows.
Yeah.
There are people
yeah.
there in the front row who knew Science Us but did not know who we
sure.
were. So
sure.
what I always like to do in any show that I do is one thing off the top that shows we know what we're doing. Now you can relax a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
And we can go into whatever we're going to
go into.
Oh, boy.
Did I ever
so here's
that?
The first thing off the top. Fuck it. Boom. Blah, 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 blah. And we throw the fireworks in the ocean. Okay.
Drive the car into the ditch.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing after that,
yeah.
I think it was like, all right, let's get back to our topic.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we got into...
You brought it up, basically. You steered it to the proposal at a show.
Well, here's what I did with that was, because I thought like, okay, we're at a live show, mm-hmm. so I'll talk about what I feel awkward about love-wise when I do live shows, and that's
yeah.
people proposing.
Yeah.
I can tell true stories.
Yeah.
Maybe that will lead to something, and here we go. And
yeah.
so we did that. You jammed on the idea of like how horrible that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine. You know, that's fine and dandy. Mm-hmm. And then it somehow led to you never proposed to your wife.
Yes. We got to the real.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, to me, that's where I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Because it felt like, to me, a mini version of our show, mm-hmm. which is fuck around.
Yes.
Bring up something true.
Sure.
True thing leads to something personal.
Yeah.
Take it down the personal road.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, through the whole thing, I was sort of touching you on your shoulder to going like, is this okay that we're actually mentioning all
this personal stuff for your life? I was fine with it.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, the only part I was nervous about was we're in a room full of people. We're
yeah.
there with your wife and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're talking about how you never actually proposed to her.
Mm-hmm.
And telling, again, personal stories about your relationship,
yeah.
but in front of her. So I'm like, okay, let me just keep tempering the temperature here to make sure this is okay. But you went for it.
Yeah.
And then I think you actually do. And then I realized if I could get you to actually propose to her, this is great radio.
That was the hardest part of it.
It is, but it's hard, yeah. but it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, this is real. And like, okay, we've got something real that also is funny, that also relates to what we've talked about.
Yeah.
It looks like we've almost set this up to be this.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do this, we can get out hot, man. This is going to be fine. And then I thought, you did it, and she was game, and
yeah.
everything was fine, and there was some nervousness, but it was sincere. And I think the audience generally was like, "Oh, it was really sweet," you know, by that. And then it was like, "All right, so long, fuckers, we're out of here." And then brought the next people up.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah. I thought it went okay with that.
Oh yeah,
your opinion though.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I felt bad that I threw it in the ditch so soon. And I really couldn't see where to go with it after I started stumbling over what the next song was. And I'm sorry about that I didn't just, that we couldn't have just centered on one song and talked about
you
it.
You bailing on stuff is part of the show. It's
I
fine.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, so that's legit. That's part of our repertoire.
That's right.
You know.
Part of my skill set.
I just feel bad sometimes when I'm like, I'm really making fun of Dave really hard here. Maybe too hard in front of the audience. No, I should pull back from... Nah, it's fine. He's making fun of me now, too. Let's go. All right, here we go. Are we just fighting in front of company? Ah, this is okay.
No, it was good. It was good fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoy doing it, so hopefully we'll do it again soon.
And I'm not... I'm not really sure if, doing this... Like, doing the quiet version of our show in front of people is the way to go. But maybe it is.
I don't know. I just find it interesting that it would be very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we do kind of chicken out of it. Even if we intended to do it.
Okay.
When we started doing it, I have a feeling that we'd find it very hard to do.
Yeah.
Because the
sure.
silence would kill us.
I don't know. I get what you're saying about chicken. All right. Here's my problem with this. There's a thing in improv.
Okay.
Where where teachers will say, you didn't make this specific choice.
Okay.
And they'll tell you didn't make this certain choice because you were afraid.
Yeah.
And quite often when I hear that, I go, I wasn't fucking afraid. I just thought this was the better choice to this. Well, no, you were scared of the silence. No, I can do silence till the cows come home. I'm actually fine with silence. I just thought this was the stronger choice was to go there. So when I hear like, you're afeared.
Yeah.
There's a difference for me. I'm not scared in that situation.
Maybe I am then.
My adrenaline does go up.
Yes.
My voice does go up.
Yeah.
But I'm not scared at any point that the audience is going to turn or we're going to lose them.
Yeah.
And with 20 minutes, just doing 20 minutes, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be fine. Whatever. We could be dull as dishwater and we'd still be fine. So, yeah, not too worried about that.
You think we'd be fine if we were as dull as dishwater?
It wouldn't be great. I wouldn't be happy with it because I think I'm aware of how an audience is reacting to things. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But I'm not coming at it from a point of fear, and I think that they'd be, you know, booing at any point.
Yeah.
I think they'd be politely tolerating us.
Yeah.
And I'm not super great with that.
Because our show, if we were honest, our show, if people...
is a piece of shit.
Well, yeah. But if people wanted to, they could like skip maybe the first 10 minutes of the show and they wouldn't miss a lot.
I usually skip the first 10 minutes of most podcasts.
Okay.
Very seldom do I ever start at the very beginning of a podcast. I always like go to 10 minutes in so everyone's talking already and they're already warmed up.
Yeah. So because, yeah, it just feels... So when we started doing the show, I was thinking like, oh my, we only have 20 minutes. Like we are really going to have to like get past our awkward stage and get into the meat of the show. So... Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I help make it awkward. So
that's fine. Yeah, awkward is fine in a podcast.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, we brought up our guests and I thought they had a wide variety of stuff to show, which is the other thing I wanted to do with that show was just like, let's do three different styles.
Totally different styles.
And so, you know, I thought like, you know, we did our rambling with a little bit of truth and then next one came up, dirty stories, filthy, sketchy, sketchy.
Yeah.
And then science, you know, good natured lads talking about science in a very funny way.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And then at the end, for some reason, me screaming that we were the best podcast. That was weird.
That was the best part for me. I laughed the hardest at that. I still think it was great. I was laughing.
Because it was a contest and we didn't tell them.
We didn't tell them.
But we won. We're really good hosts.
So if any listeners haven't heard Podmash yet, it is available on the website.
Yeah.
We put it in as a bonus episode out this week. So feel free to go and listen to that. There's us, Dazed and Convicted, and Science Us, each doing, their own kind of style. And it's interesting.
And we would like to do more just to find other podcasts. And
I think the podcast that we did it with would be willing to do it again. And I think we could
find other ones to rope
other people into it.
And it was kind of touching that the Dazed and Convicted folks, that was the last one they were doing together.
Yeah.
So I felt like, and they'd always wanted to do a podcast live and they'd never done one of those. And it was like, oh, this is great too. And
And it was Science S' first live podcast as well. So
it felt special on a lot of levels. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was a
good
show.
But like, I'll tell you this, like any event that's live, I have almost a tinnitus like buzz going through my head through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my head is like this through the whole thing. Beep! And until it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's partly that. Not partly
because I'm hyper aware of everything in the room.
And we were the organizers. So we were responsible for the sound and stuff like that. So
I'm
that
trying
was
to make
an extra
sure that
layer of,
the wait staff are okay, that the band that's like trying to get in is not going to like step on us, that people who are trying to walk in and find the washrooms, I'm getting them to the washrooms quietly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the guy running the party, you know, who's also then trying to signal people that they've got like 2 minutes left to wrap up. So like I'm hyper on the whole thing until it's done.
Yeah.
And then I can calm down.
A friend I was talking to he said, you know who is mad? The band waiting to come into the show after you're done. And I said, oh, really? Because we were over time? I thought we were pretty much on time.
We were on time.
He said, no, because they're looking at all these people in the room that weren't going to be there when they went into the room. So yeah, that's true enough. Because we had like a nice full room. So
yeah.
It's nice. It's a good thing to bring two other podcasts with their friends. Helps to fill a room.
Yep.
Paper that room.
But thank you. But that is not papering. That is just an audience. Papering is a very different thing.
Is that right? What's papering?
Papering?
Yeah.
Is when you, it was all free, so we can't. But it's when you offer free tickets and just go like, come on, let's fill it up.
Okay.
Let's fill in the seats.
Sure.
You know, but this was people that wanted to come and listen to our show.
Laugh with their friends.
Yeah.
That's
for,
fine.
For free with nice food and some drinks.
So thank you, any of our sneakers out there who came down to see it. Thank you very much for coming. And any who didn't, why not? Why didn't you come? I want a reason. I want you to write a letter to me and explain
and
why.
Come next time.
Come, unless you live outside of the city, you know, more than 100 miles away, I'll accept why you didn't come.
So, drive in.
Yeah,
people have come from Australia. People have come from Chicago. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on.
For 20 minutes of us live, that's worth it.
Now, before we wrap up, were you wanting to talk about what happened yesterday?
If you want to.
Okay, I'm cool. Yep.
I think it's interesting because nothing makes me sadder than these things keep happening. The Sandy Hook shootings, obviously, every time I read something about that, I cried. And this has had the same effect, and it's...
Why don't you actually say what it is, because people are listening to this.
Okay, yeah, maybe listen
to
a different time. Obviously, this is the attack on Charlie Hebdo in Paris. I guess it's a terrorist attack. I think we can assume this aren't they're not as crazy people. You know, it's not like the attack in Ottawa where it's this a madman with a gun kind of randomly attacking. These guys seem very organized.
Yeah.
They knew what day their editorial meeting was, so there'd be the most people there in the offices that they wanted to get. So they'd obviously done surveillance. They were waiting for someone to come that they could afford to let them in using the code to get into the building. So it was a planned attack, obviously. Yeah. And
as of when we're recording this, they have not found the people who did this yet.
One of the suspects has turned himself in.
Oh, okay.
Because he was named in the news, so he turned himself in.
All right.
The other two have not been found yet.
As of yet, yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I guess, kind of like with school children, it feels like people, this sort of harmless people, like the most harmless people, like 80-year-old men, 87-year-old men, being killed for drawing pictures. Mm-hmm. It just feels like the most, you know, it's not like the, you know, these totally defenseless people being, you know, shot and murdered. It just feels like that sort of thing. Every time I read about it yesterday, I would sort of tear up.
It's deep. It's deeply sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it also feel though? Here's the side thing to me. First of all, there's a side. My wife's been doing cartoons mm-hmm. about this, and a lot of cartoonists have been, and we've been thinking about this a lot. So on the first level, of course, incredibly sad.
Yes.
It's just deaths. It's sad. It's tragic. Horrible. And I'm also not for the people who are right now going, you know, this was really about, you know, fuck that. Now's not the time for this was really about.
Yeah.
I get that the Devil's Advocate auditions are next week. So show up then.
Yeah.
You know, appreciate the side thing, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But here's the thing, you know, whenever someone tries something like this, I always think like, especially in this case, well, that's not going to work. Like, first of all, it's tragic. But it's also fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because this is not going to work. Whatever you're thinking is going to, you think this is going to stop anything?
Yeah.
Fuck you. It's not.
Yeah.
So you've just done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing except make people sad for a while and make their hearts hurt. But then you see like Paris and you see, you know, them holding up the not afraid signs and like the streets are full and basically giving the middle finger to these fuckers and just like, no.
Yeah.
If you think, you know, the way terrorism would work is, you scare people and then they stop doing the thing that you don't want them to do.
Yeah.
Wrong. Mm-hmm. This is not going to do that. So, you know, fuck you. It didn't work. You know, and all it is sadness, but it wasn't effective.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
No, it had
so
exactly.
So thanks for wasting everybody's time and just making things shittier, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, it just had exactly the opposite effect. I mean, they killed a Muslim police officer. Mm-hmm. Today, there's been overnight, there were several attacks on mosques in Paris from hot-headed people who are angry about this. And that's understandable why they're angry.
Right.
But please direct it in a way that's not against people who are doing nothing to you.
Right.
You know, like, okay, you're angry right now. The next stage is to put it past us, you know, and you cannot carry that anger. You have to forgive, you know, you have to, I don't mean you have to let those people get away with it, but I just mean you have to take that anger and just put it aside, you know, catch them, convict them, send it, you know, do whatever the justice was required.
Show that your system works.
Do those things. But, you know, a kind of blind assault on, you know, Afghanistan or the middle Yemen or wherever these people came from. Apparently they were yelling at something about Yemen Al-Qaeda. It's just, it's useless and
if you
counterproductive.
Right. If you do something, now you're the person doing the useless shit that's just causing sadness mm-hmm. and probably helping their cause more.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think with this kind of thing, like, what do they want to be the result of this? You want this to have an impact. You want it to stop the things you don't want happening. You want it to spark the war that you want it to spark. And so if you really are mad at these fuckers, don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to say ignore it. Of course, you can't ignore,
can't ignore it,
but you can make it not effective. Mm-hmm. So it's like, no, this is not going to spread. This fire is not going to spread.
Yeah.
You know, you've done this damage and that's it. That's all you've done. So done, you know?
Thinking about this, here's the other outrageous thing I was just reading today is someone posted this, is the Catholic Church successfully sued a company, I believe it was... I'm going to say Dolce & Gabbana, but I could be wrong. Maybe Versace. Maybe it was Versace. They did an ad that's a reproduction of the Last Supper painting, Da Vinci's Last Supper, using women, kind of fashion models in this, in similar poses, except for some reason, a male model who's naked from the back. You can only see his back sitting in the lap. It looks like he's sitting in the lap of one of the models. I don't remember that in the painting with Christ talking to disciples. And there's a naked woman sitting in one of the laps of the disciples. I don't remember that in the painting. It might've been there. I just may not have seen it. But anyway, so I have this, it's just, so now it's been banned as an advertisement.
Where's it been banned?
I guess in Italy, where it was because it's offensive to Catholics.
Okay.
It's offensive to this religion.
It couldn't be banned in the States because of parody laws. Parody laws would have protected it.
Yeah. And it is.
And I think in Canada as well.
But you feel like, now here's this horrible attack on this magazine that, you know, its only crime was that it made fun of religion. You know, and it didn't just make fun of Islam. It made fun of Christianity.
It was offensive, but that's fine. It's fine to be offensive.
We're
offensive.
I have some issues of it at home, Charlie Hebdo, and I have some old issues of its original magazine, Harikiri, which was the magazine that started. Harikiri is like the most offensive thing you'll ever read in your life, in every way. The only problem with those magazines is there's so much slang in them. And they're mostly text, and there's so much slang in them that it's hard to understand what you're reading because if you don't live there, if you're not immersed in the culture, it's hard to understand those sort of idioms,
right?
Particularly when it's just a bunch of dirty words and stuff like that that are, you know, making fun of things. I mean, even Boulet, who I really like a lot as a cartoonist, his I'm sure you saw his, which was Les Canards volent plus haut que le fusil, like ducks fly higher than rifles.
Oh, okay.
But in France, Les Canards is also a slang term for newspapers. So it has two meanings. You know, the press, newspapers fly higher than rifles, or, you know, just actually ducks, but because that's not what he meant. But, you know, so those sort of like use of idiom, you know, can be kind of confusing. So when I would try to read those magazines, I'd be like, okay, I can laugh at the drawings, but I have no idea what any of the text is. I just, it's over my head by far. And so, but I do have some issues of it. And yeah, they're offensive. I mean, they're not just making fun of, it's not, I mean, obviously it's been attacked by Islamic people, but they've been sued by the Catholic Church.
Pardon me. Sorry, go ahead.
They've been sued by the Catholic Church. They've been, you know, I don't know if they've been taken to court by Jewish people, you know, but they do attack Israel quite a bit for things in, you know, Gaza and stuff like that. They're not friends of feminism. They're animal rights. They do have animal rights, you know, so it's a weird kind of thing, but they're just like, no, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it was just whatever. We'll make fun of whatever. And which is kind of admirable, probably irksome too, you know, but.
And also really goes with the French culture.
Yes, to be that kind of outrageous. Yes. Yeah. And they have a different sense of what's taboo than we do as well, you know.
And like, social justice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Something goes wrong in France, people go out and they protest. And unlike when there's protests, say, in North America, shit happens the next day and it fixes it. You know, by the way, this is the difference. It's like, it's not like France is a place in Paris, you know, where stuff doesn't change.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Paris is like, stuff does change. If there's something that the public objects to, the government goes, oh, okay, we're going to change that. Here's how it doesn't work. When you kill some people, you know, and go, now there's going to be change. No, fuck you, there's not going to be change. Well, there's going to be change when people gather together and go, we want change. That's how you achieve change there.
That's it. And I mean, the change they're achieving is, I mean, look at Holland where I think his name was Theo van Gogh was killed. He had done a film about women in Muslim countries, how they're treated. And so he was shot in the head by you know, some sort of person who felt outraged by this, obviously. What's the reaction in Holland? Well, it's to bring in this sort of far-right, anti-immigration, you know, very racist party that, you know, so now, that doesn't help anybody, you know, and it's the same in France. This plays into there's a far-right, you know, very anti-immigration, racist party there. And now this is played totally into their hands as well. And so they can ride a wave of outrage, you know. That's what I mean. I mean, obviously you can be outraged, but you have to put it behind you. You can't take hate into these sort of things. You have to carry love with you into them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's hard.
And it's tough saying that on the second day.
It's hard to say that on the second day, but you have to. Yeah. I mean, is anyone happy with what happened after 9/11? I don't think so.
No. And I think that's one of those situations where you see how it's been handled completely wrong.
Completely wrong, you know? Yeah.
And there's still people in jail for that have never been on trial.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all based on fear. And that's where I kind of look, that's where, you know, it. What made me weepy was seeing the reaction in Paris of the we're not mm-hmm. afraid.
That's part of it.
That's
too,
an incredible,
sure.
that's the reaction is just go, no, we're not scared.
Yeah.
You tried to scare us, didn't scare us. And I think, and unfortunately with America, what happened was they went, we're scared. And they showed that they were scared mm-hmm. and they based a lot of decisions on fear and then renamed a lot of things and created new organizations, you know, with the kind of names you would only see in movies. You know, you're like, well, this couldn't happen here, and it did.
Yeah.
So it's good now to see, yes, reacted well to this situation, and let's not give them what they want. And keep being offensive, folks. Keep being offensive, you know?
Please. Yeah, you can offend me. I'm okay with it.
And you look at someone like, look at Robert Crumb, you know?
Yeah.
Has anyone done any stuff that's more offensive than Robert Crumb? Like, if you just looked at all this stuff, like, take off all the hate boxes, and now he's living in France, you know, selling his sketchbooks and whatever. And that's France, man. That's France.
He sells the sketchbooks to Germany, it seems, but...
Is it? Well, I don't want to judge that. Whatever.
From what I've read.
Well, okay. Well, maybe there's something about that. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I hear you. I mean, it feels... I mean, I knew those cartoonists. I knew their work. So there's a personal connection to them too in a different way than you get from soldiers or whatever. I mean, that's sad, of course.
Yeah.
Of course that's sad. But they're in a position where that's their job, you know, and it's a terrible job, and that's where they are.
Yeah.
And but these guys are just some people making jokes, you know, having a life. You know, it's sad.
There's never been a time where you wouldn't get shot for speaking your mind somewhere. You know, that's the thing.
No,
it's like
true.
The answer to the, you know, freedom of speech has, you know, brought a bullet with it more times than you can count.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is horrific. It's tragic. It's all those things. And now let's not give the fuckers what they want.
I said it on Facebook and I'll say it again. Fly your free flag high.
Agreed.
Use your freedom to be who you are.
Yep. Do a podcast, maybe. And if you do one, maybe we'll have you on Podmash.
Maybe
and,
you will.
And you can go, hey, guys, show a bit of guts and
or we might shut you down because I don't want you competing against us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a competition. Absolutely.
That's right. I don't want to share the airwaves.
All right. I'm trying to think, is there anything else to mention? No, I've done my plug for my silly little James Bond show. I think generally that's it.
Yeah, just plug one more time. I did a big process post. It's up on the website if people are interested in how I make title cards. There it is for you to look at. It's very long. I advise you to read it in three days.
People can read things at whatever pace they want.
They
don't feel obligated.
Over a few weeks, you can do it that way.
Yeah.
You know where it looks good? Is on Tumblr.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tumblr did it all the way I had planned it. It's hard to get the images the way I had them set up on the website.
Okay, well, let's mention that we've got...
We do have a Tumblr, but now it doesn't seem to be...
Is it SneakyDragon?
Yeah.
.tumblr?
Whatever, yeah.
Okay, well, no,
I'm sorry,
it's
I don't know what it is, but...
The internet doesn't if you go to, whatever.
If you go to Tumblr and search Sneaky Dragon, you'll find us there and you can follow us
And
there.
Also some porn.
On Tumblr.
Yep.
You insist on that, I don't believe you.
Okay, fair enough. Look up Sneaky Dragon on Tumblr, see what happens. All right. We love to hear from you, so yeah, why not go... You can go to Tumblr if you want, but I'd say go to SneakyDragon.com.
Are you not thinking of Slumbler?
I don't know. Okay. SneakyDragon.com. Our message board is there. We also love talking to you on Facebook.
Sure.
We got a Twitter account, Sneaky_Dragon.
Yep.
And normally if you talk to us, we respond to you really fast.
You can see our listener, A.U.C. Otter's dog, a min pin named Prancer. He sent a picture to
And we have some
Twitter
rabbits
feed.
On there, too.
We have some rabbits on the website.
You might be asking why these are up there, and that's because last week we asked you to send in pictures of
your
animals.
Yeah, I said if you send in some pictures of your animals, I would post them on the website. Or we had one sent to us on Twitter, so that was nice, too.
Oh, cool, cool. All right, so there you go. We got animals. Do you like looking at pictures of animals? Come and check those things out, too.
Yes.
Alrighty. So in the meantime, I hope you're all having a good start to your year. If you're listening to this in the future and it's not that start to your year, well, I hope you're doing okay anyway. And we appreciate you spending your time with us, giving us a listen. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
Why not go have a little hot beverage right now? Dave wouldn't. He doesn't like hot beverages. But why not go have yourself a hot beverage and relax? Thank you. Okay, let me set my clock, just so I generally know.
Yeah, how much we're running over?
I don't even think that. Do we have an over?